we got our first injection of good vibes, and we need to wait a little bit before we get that booster shot.
Tim Stützle and I are finally in the same country again. Unfortunately, that country is Germany. Welcome to This American Life. I'm Poppy.
And I'm Viara.
And this is the podcast that nobody asked for, but everybody needs.
Before beginning the episode, as always, we would like to acknowledge that this podcast is written and recorded on unceded and unsurrendered Mi'kmaq territory. To support your local Indigenous community, please consider donating to organizations who are providing essential care. Examples, if you are living in Ottawa, are the Odawan Native Friendship Center, Wabanaw, and Minwashing Lodge.
What are we drinking? Sorry, that sounded like so.
It takes us a while to get warmed up. I'm being very boring, and I'm drinking just some Earl Grey tea, but I am at least drinking it out of my This American Life mug. I think that happened in the last episode too, but this is just the
mug. I love that. Yeah. I made myself a little iced coffee. I think it's really important that you guys hear the ice. I don't know if that picked up on the recording. I hope so. I haven't had a cafe iced coffee since last summer, so I've been trying my best to make it at home. At my place in Ottawa, we have an espresso machine, which is amazing, so you can make like really good iced coffees, or like iced Americanos. This is literally like cold brewed coffee and some crap I bought at the grocery store for 50 cents, but it's pretty good.
It sounds
good. I'm doing my best with what we've got.
It's been a while since our last episode. Again, this is fine. This is just the way we do things now that Poppy is in Germany and has a full-time job and can't watch hockey games. I'm sorry. We're trying our best. But there's a lot to talk about. And first, we wanted to give a little bit of a season recap. It was like such a bizarre season. I will look back on it with such fond memories. It was like the combination of like the condensed season, the North Division, the fact that it was lockdown, so like I was actually able to watch every single game, and like it never even crossed my mind that I would have anything else. Like I, like halfway through the season, I remember thinking, oh yeah, remember when like I used to have other commitments that would make it so that like I would have to miss a few games every season? Like, remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
It was not a thing this season. I mean, I know that you had that problem. I did not have
that problem. No, I was thinking that this has been such a weird 2 years for us, because last year I mean, you know, I had like other stuff going on because I was graduating university and like had the job and stuff. But my life sounds very interesting. But like, you were in Ghana, so you couldn't really watch hockey. And now I'm in Germany, and I was like, man, you know, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna set an alarm clock for 2 a.m. then watch hockey from like 2 to 5 a.m. and then go to my office job? Like, that's not gonna happen. It's just not happening. So been a weird 2 years for This American Life. Maybe next season hopefully will be a little bit better.
Or maybe a little more consistent, you know, both watching games, both in Canada.
Picture this. You come to my house. I got us like a 6-pack of Big Rig, and we turn on the TV and we watch the Ottawa Senators, and we do it together.
Bro, we can watch them together. I didn't even consider that. Watching the games with other people. Like, this is also a thing. It's like, I just graduated, not to brag. And I'm taking a gap year. And for the last 4 years, I have only watched Ottawa Senators games by myself. Because like I've been living on my own during the school year, which is also the hockey season, except for the playoffs. But the Sens have not been in the playoffs since I moved away from university. And then I was thinking of it, and I was like, wow, if I go back to Ottawa like in the fall, which isn't guaranteed, but like honestly, the Sens are like one of the reasons why I want to go back to Ottawa for a gap year. Because I'm like, man, I could actually go to games, I could like, you know, watch hockey either with my family or like come over to your house to watch hockey
games. You can come to my I'm not gonna name the name of my house because it's like too famous and people would know my address, but like you could come to beep and watch hockey with us, and we can both wear our Zub shirts and
Well, yeah, it was really, really fun. There was a brief period of time when we recorded this podcast in person, and it was extremely iconic. Was so we fun. Need to go back to that. I still remember getting really drunk and emailing Big Green Brewery asking if they could sponsor us, which they never responded to, but that was really fun.
That was fun. We need to like be in the same room again. This was like such a whoop, but like I feel like everybody's fantasizing about the after times now that we're all slowly getting vaccinated and stuff.
And like I said, like this was such a weird season. I don't know, for me, like studying, like doing school online, like I had no life. Like I was just studying all day, and it was so like I can't describe the feeling of like my brain is so full of school, and then at the end of the day I would just get to sit down and like watch the most like ridiculous Ottawa Senators game and like shitpost on Twitter about this. Like this got me through the school year, having this like major distraction in my life. Like I know that it would sound like it would be, you know, a negative thing, but like I needed something else in my life, right?
No, I totally feel that. That used to be like for a couple of years when I was in uni and I was like having a really bad time going to like games and stuff. That was like my thing. That was like how I got through. I remember I was like really not having a normal one, like not having a good time. And I had my Italian oral exam, and I've been working so hard for this, but like I was just so tired, and I was like, I'm not gonna do well in this exam. But my friend had got tickets for us to go see like a playoffs game afterwards. So I was like, okay, well, I just have to make it through this exam, even if it's humiliating. After that, I'm gonna get a beer, and then I'm gonna like go to see playoff hockey. And incredibly for me, the exam ended up being like relatively unstructured. There was like a lot of conversation time. So the professor I had at the time saw that I was wearing like a jersey and was like, oh, what are you doing today in Italian? And it's like, I don't know, people who are learning different languages might know this, but it's like when you get to a topic where it's something that you are just like kind of excited about, it's like it just kind of can get out, like you can communicate better. And I remember it just being this thing where I was like, oh, thank God she asked me this. Like, thank God she's not asking about something where I like fully don't know the vocabulary. And I can now just like be like, I'm going to a Senators game. I'm going to be sitting here and here. And I'm mostly excited for this and this.
That's amazing. Like the Ottawa Senators helped you on your Italian exam. Incredible.
I got an A+ in my Italian oral
exam. That's because of the Ottawa Senators. Incredible. Yeah,
honestly, incredible time. Incredible.
That's just what hockey is all about. I love that. I love stories like that. It was such a weird season and such weird circumstances. It was just incredible. So anyways, we started making this list of like our initial idea was to do like highs and lows of the season. Honestly, there were no lows. These are all just highs. Like the lows of the season. The thing is, because of the way this season happened, it's like all those terrible losses and stuff. It's like, yeah, it was a low point, but in the end, does it really matter? Do I care? Do I remember any of that? No. All I remember is the good times we had, because the low points did not matter.
I didn't watch much of the games. Like I only would see like maybe a bit of an afternoon game or like the beginning of a game. So to me, all I know is like chunks of games and everyone posting on Twitter. It's been an amazing season for me, because no matter what was happening, I just got to see
the posts were great.
The first thing on this list is Stützle's first practice with the team, which is burned into my brain because I had this fantasy that I was going to go back to Ottawa the same time as Tim Stützle would. That clearly has not happened, but maybe next time he goes back to Ottawa, maybe. I don't know. But that's like burned into my brain, because I remember just like stewing. I was like, Tim Stützle got his permit so fast.
I just remember like the first video of him stepping onto the ice and just like losing it, thinking it was the most exciting thing. I was so hyped for this season. And then of course, after the game, the most iconic thing, they ask him like, oh, who are you staying with? What are your living arrangements? And he's like, oh yeah, Brady Tkachuk offered up his house.
What an amazing, this is such a good season. Okay, then afterwards we had the opening night versus Toronto, which is like, this has been a beautiful year for the Toronto rivalry. It's just been a good one. That was a good one.
It was pretty great. And you know, I don't know, the opening night, like it obviously the first game doesn't end up mattering that much, but it always feels important, right? And like, we went into that game thinking, you know, the Leafs are so much better than the Sens. The Sens are going to end up at the bottom of the division. The Leafs are going to end up at the top. And then of course the Sens win and we're all having fun. It's been way too long since we got to like shitpost about beating the Leafs. That was a great night on twitter.com.
Yeah, and then we've got two Stützle things back-to-back again, which is, like, Stützle's first NHL goal, which, again, it's, like, so fun. Everybody was just so hyped for him this year. So.
Yeah, the goal was amazing. Like, so many good things happened this season that, like, I almost forgot how beautiful his first NHL goal was, but I was watching that over and over and over and over and over again. It was the most beautiful goal, and, of course, it happened in, like,
the
second game, like, just against the Leafs. Amazing. I don't care if it was a loss. It was a great goal. Only one thing happened in that game. And then, of course, a few days later, Thomas Chabot hugs Tim Stützle in practice. And then he hugs him a few times later in the season. It was kind of a thing that he kept hugging him. And it was just really cute. That was a high point of the season for me personally, when Thomas Chabot was hugging Tim Stützle.
No, I think that's nice. I think they have like, I don't know. I think that everybody seems to just think he's like adorable. And it's just like good times amongst the young players. And then you've got the February 4th game versus Montreal, which I cannot remember. I'm sorry.
What I remember about this, I had to look up exactly what day it was, but it was the first game against Montreal. And what I remember is that, you know, the Sens started the season not great. You know, there was that first win against Toronto. There was a loss against Toronto. It was like, yeah, but, you know, it's just the score. And like, you know, Toronto's supposed to be a good team. It's fine, whatever. And then they lose three games in a row against Winnipeg. And then they get like completely destroyed by Vancouver and Edmonton. And we're like, okay, so this is like a historically bad team. Like this is truly an awful hockey team. So, so, so bad. They will never win another game. And then they play the Habs and they completely destroy them. And it was just really great. Like, okay, that's what I remember. I was like, I was on top of the world. I wrote the recap and I was unhinged. I was like, I am so happy right now. Like, as listeners of this podcast know, as people who follow me on Twitter know, I am a Habs hater. I really, really, really hate the Habs. And it was really fun to see the Sens beat the Habs specifically under those circumstances.
I'm not a Habs hater as much as you are, so I can't. Sorry. Then of course we've got Zub's first NHL goal.
So
okay. I just want to say, like, Zub in general has been Zub like
in general. Yeah. I put down, you know, I was gonna be like, oh, you know, the 5-1 comeback, but I put down specifically Zub's NHL first NHL goal because that to me was just like, that is the moment that defines the season. Like, if I feel like in a few years, if people ask me, like, what is one moment that you think just like sums up the 2021 Ottawa Senators season? And same way that, like, you know, when you look back on the Hamburglar run, you're like, what was the moment? It's probably like, you know, Curtis Lazar eating the hamburger, or like, you know, maybe the Penguins come back, right? You're like, what is the one moment that defines it? And for me, it's not even the overtime goal. Like, it took me a minute earlier when I was writing this, even remember who scored that overtime winner against Toronto. It was Dadonov, apparently. I remember so little about that game, except that there was this one moment. The Sens are down 5-1 at the end of the second period. They are playing like absolute garbage. This is a terrible team. The Leafs are going to walk all over them. I am sad. I am angry. I am disappointed in them. They're obviously going to lose this game by a lot. It is a total write-off. And then this like random defensive defenseman that we signed from the KHL, who, like, we had no idea if he was going to be any good. We knew nothing about him going into the season. He doesn't speak a word of English. You know, this total nobody who's kind of acquired like sort of a cult following on Twitter, but is very much known, and he's like, you know, surprisingly good at defense, but he's known as like a defensive defenseman only, comes out of the penalty box, goes on a breakaway, and scores one of the most beautiful breakaway goals I have ever seen to spark a comeback from down 5-1. Like, this is truly the best moment of my life.
I think this has just been Zoop's season. Like, it's literally just his season. It's his world and we're living in it. Like,
it is. And just like, I can't remember, I don't have like vivid memories of any of the other goals. Like, I remember the celebration after the overtime goal, but like, I couldn't tell you who else scored in that game. I couldn't tell you what else happened. like the one moment that is burned into my brain is that Zub goal. And every time I want to think about it, I can just replay the goal in my head.
Yeah. Okay, you've got more. You've got, like, this is so funny. Beata wrote this list, by the way, because I live in Germany right now. But the next one is just that video of Stützler and Kachuk, like, mouthing words at each other and laughing while Kachuk is in the penalty box, which is such a good one. Like, it's just been such a delight to have all the young players on the team who are just like really sweet to each other. I'm really excited for Yegor Sokolov to come in as well, because he already has like a connection to
Bathurston, right?
Oh, Bathurston, exactly. Yeah. And so I think that's just gonna add like another layer of just guys being dudes.
And like, Sokolov has the best vibes. Like, he's so NHL, because it's like, what would we have done if Sokolov had been on this team? Like, that's too much for me. That's too much. We gotta wait. We gotta, you know, we need another, we got our first injection of good vibes, and we need to wait a little bit before we get that booster shot, right? Like, we can't have it all at once. it would have been too much. The NHL would not have been able to contain the Ottawa Senators if they had had Igor Sokolov on the team. So, like, this is a thing. This is, like, probably the number one thing I'm looking forward to in the future is, like, what player am I most excited for? Igor Sokolov.
Oh, 100%. He's just, like, I don't know. I just want to cheer for him. He's just so charming. And I love all the, like, friendships that are developing on the team. Yeah. And he seems like someone who, I mean, his relationship with Bathurston, the way he describes it, is just like adorable. The fact that Bathurston, you know, they were in the same billet family, and he just like dragged him everywhere when he couldn't speak a like lick of English. I think that's really delightful to start out with, that they've kind of, you know, developed that friendship. But
he's another Russian speaker, so we can speak to Zub.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously advocate for Zub learning some English, because
I don't actually. I advocate for the entire team learning Russian so that they can speak to Zub. I think it's adorable that he doesn't speak English. I mean, obviously for his sake, I hope he picks up some English, because, you know, living in Ottawa without speaking the language kind of sucks. I hope he does. But personally, I am in favor of Zub not speaking much English and the rest of the team speaking Russian to accommodate him, because he is that amazing.
I think it would be really funny if he just learned French, because he could still be accommodated within the team, but it would be like, I learned French. What are you going to do about it? No, I think he's good vibes. I'm excited for Yegor. Oh, yeah. Getting two coaches fired in a row is like...
And this is when like the sicko movement really took off too. I forget who came first. I think it was Claude Julien first, right? The Habs. It was like the Habs. It was at that point. It was in their like, in the Sens, like being very bad at hockey era, when they were like extremely bad. And so there was just a brief period of time where they started winning games and everyone was like, oh shit, we lost to the Ottawa Senators. Better blow everything up, which was so funny.
I think it's really good. I think it's such a good response, because I think like the Sens have been so unpredictable this season. You know, that might have just have to do with having a ton of young players on the team. I can imagine like you've got a bunch of like 19-year-olds. I don't know if that's great for consistency, but the reaction from like other teams is so funny. That's why this season has been so delightful as well. You never know what the night's gonna bring. Like, it's so good. It's
and like enjoyable. You know, have the Sens done much in terms of, you know, winning hockey games, making the playoffs? You know, like the standings didn't really matter, but what we have done is screw over so many teams, just like embarrass them. Another thing that I'm going to remember about this season is just watching teams like skate off the ice dejectedly, having had their season ended or their playoff hopes crushed by, you know, by the last place. Not last place anymore, but for a while, last place in the division team as sicko mode plays through the arena. I have this fear that like we're never gonna achieve this level of happiness again.
No, like it's hard. I mean, I think next season's just gonna be like good vibes because hopefully we'll be able to go back to the arena.
But also when you think about it, like every amazing Sun season has been followed by a not so great one. Like 2015 was great, and then it was followed by like an season, and then 2017 was great, and then things went badly. But I'm trying not to stick too much to that. Even like 2013, you know, things went well in 2013, and then like 13, 14 wasn't that great. However, this is a different team.
You're going way too
I think we have this is a different team. I think we have good reason to have hope. So I'm hoping that the good vibes will continue. I mean, if Sokolov is joining the team eventually, like, how could we lose?
Man, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a Sokolov jersey or a Zoom jersey. Can I get a Zubalov?
I don't have enough money for all the jerseys I want to buy.
Okay, but imagine if I got one that said Zubalov.
Hmm.
That'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty funny.
It would. Yeah. See, the thing is, I've been wanting a Zub jersey for a while. Well, because I don't have a Stutzla jersey. And I'm like, I want a Stutzla jersey, but like Zub for the memes. But then I'm also like, Sokolov. Man.
Zubalov, but with an umlaut.
That's a choice. We Photoshop that. Post it on our podcast.
All right. So. Oh my god, there's just been such a chaotic season. Dorian did the sicko thing. Like,
he just stood at the glass. No, he didn't go, yes, haha, yes. He just stood at the glass watching the game for no reason. It was like, why is he watching this game from the glass?
No, but DJ Smith did the yes, haha, yes.
Yes, he did that. And also the team, like, tweeted out that Photoshop of the sickos. Man, everything was so good.
It's been such a weird season. And,
like, for a while, after a goal, in the arena, they would just play the, yes, ha, 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 yes. It was so good. Like, generally, okay, I know that, like, Dorian standing at the glass was not intentional, as far as I know. And this was before the team acknowledged the sicko thing. But then, like, after that happened, the team, like, properly, you know, started embracing the sicko thing. And for some reason, it wasn't even, like, cringe. Like, they did it well.
This must have been like a very, you know, like it's been like a weird, in terms of Sun social media, it's been like a bit of a weird adjustment phase. I think we were all really used to Craig, also because he was like sort of in front of the camera a lot, so we kind of knew who he was, and obviously his content was iconic. It's been a good year, I think, for the Sun social media to like find their footing. To be fair, we did a lot of work for them.
That's the thing that Craig did really well, and that's like, I think, a really good approach if you're just starting out as a social media person, is sort of let the fans take over that, right? Like, I like that they didn't, you know, do too much with the sicko. They were kind of like, we're gonna let the fans do this, right?
I think it's been a good season for them to just be like, okay, what are people saying on Twitter? How can we incorporate this and like make it funny? And like, that's, I think, a really good approach to fan engagement, obviously, is to just like acknowledge dumb memes that people are making. It's been a good year for the social media person. They made a great, like, they posted a great video on Twitter where they were like, guess which one was the only, like, the teams that had every team in the NHL that had one goal each game. And it was like a list, and it just said, Ottawa Senators, and it's like a video of every goal. That was good. It was a good tweet.
It was. They had some good tweets.
Oh yeah, they're getting there. I think they're like really finding their footing.
Mm-hmm. So I did put in one low point. Okay, well, maybe the next one is also kind of a low point. We'll talk about that later. Or not the next thing, the one after that.
I don't think so.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. There is one low point that I wanted to point out. This is personally the worst thing that I had to deal with during this season. It was the power play drop pass, which kind of, like, they stopped doing it after Shabbat got injured at the end of the season. But why did they do that? Another thing I'm going to remember about this season is just sitting there watching every time the Suns had a power play. I'd see Shabbat have the puck, he's going up the ice, and then he just drops the puck. And it's like, why? You just wasted like 10 seconds doing that. And they struggled so much to do their power play zone entry, which, like, that is never, I've never heard of a team struggling with that. Like, what team struggles to get into the offensive zone on the power play? That is such a weird thing to struggle with. And the fact that they kept doing this like, what's really funny to me is the fact that the Sens mostly kept doing this power play drop pass for the entire season. And this is, like, such an easy thing for other teams to pick up on. Like, you know, you do it twice and everyone's like, okay, so this is what they do on the power play. They get Shabbat to bring up the puck and then he just, like, leaves it there, right? That's such an easy thing to capitalize on. And I think,
I mean,
it is, I think it says something about the North Division that nobody picked up on it.
I mean, I think there's something, like, I'm reading a book at the moment that is, like, unrelated to this, but it basically has a long sports analogy. And they were saying how, like, basically they were trying to get, this was in football though, but they were trying to get the players to do the exact same plays over and over and over again. And the goal was not to make it surprising to the other team. The goal was to get it so drilled into their brains that they, like, didn't even think about it, did it automatically, and then it would be so fast that even if the other teams predicted it, they couldn't do anything about it, right?
I mean, did the Sens succeed in doing that though? Like, was it that well executed? I can't think of a single time where that was well executed. I cannot think of a single instance where they did that power play drop pass where Shabbat couldn't have just passed the puck forward. Like, I don't think it worked that well.
Well, no, but I was reading it and I was like, oh, maybe that's what they were trying to do. But they weren't very successful.
maybe. I don't know. Anyways, RIP to the power play drop pass. I hope you don't come back.
Yeah, death of a real one.
Just wanted to like immortalize that as like a thing that happens this season.
Obviously, iconic, Yegor Sokolov tweeting Happy International Women's Day to all the beautiful ladies out there.
I mean, we talked about this in the last episode. I wrote this down as Sokolov respects women on Maine. And then he immediately scores a goal, too.
Women respect it. It's been a good season for him.
Yeah. Yeah, we've already talked about him. He's delightful. Yeah,
I cannot go off on him again.
And then later in the season when he got a hat trick, and then there was this video of him just like tenderly hugging his teammates after the goal. Like the goal celebration was just so sweet.
He's so lovely. He's so sweet.
Imagine the hugs between like him and Tim Schützler, him and Thomas Chabot. Like imagine all the hug combinations we can have.
Pretty cool. Combinations. This is why
it sounds like I'm writing like AO3 pairings, like all the different hugs that can happen after Sens goals.
This is why everyone hates our podcast. Just the hug combination. Just look out next season, it's gonna be top 5 hug combinations rated by vibe as well. We won't rate it by anything else. Let me write that down so we don't forget.
We're gonna have like a top 10 hugs of the season after next season. That'll be our plan. These are the advanced stats we're interested in. I'll have to actually track Tim Stutz's hugs per 60. That's gonna be my goal for next season because I keep joking about that as a stat.
If we get to go back to games and we do like a thread that's like top 10 hugs of the season, I will not rest until I get a photo of hugging a Sparta cat so that we can make that the top hug of the season.
Oh man, Sparty's gonna have a job again. Oh.
You know, I'm happy for him, but I miss him. I hope I miss Sparta. He's like,
I know, I feel like Gritty's the only mascot that's like actually been doing stuff this season.
The New Jersey Devil keeps posting like sexy videos. It's true. I'm not the only one who has noticed this. This isn't just me.
Oh yeah, I do remember this actually.
The New Jersey Devil like is doing TikTok dances. Like
I'm pretty sure I retweeted a few videos like that. I made sure to follow all the mascots on the podcast account just for the jokes. I don't follow them all on my personal account, but in the podcast one, yes. So
I started keeping an eye on the New Jersey Devil because he was like very active, and then I was like, I'm not gonna post this because everybody already thinks I'm insane. And I'm like, maybe I'm just projecting. Maybe the New Jersey like devil is not being sexy. And then I saw somebody completely unrelated from us, like different fan base altogether, be like, why is the New Jersey devil so horny? It's like, oh, it's not just me.
I'm gonna post it on the podcast account because like we have no standards for that one. All we do is post horny tweets about mascots.
Oh god, what have we become? All right. So the next one.
But this is the one where I was like, is this a low point or a high point?
No. No, this is the classic redemption, and I am going to take Colin White's side, as I do, because yes, Colin White did assist on a Canucks goal. Yeah, he did. It's not his fault.
He got confused. Somebody yelled his name. It was really mean.
What's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? He was just going no brain. He passed. Technically, it was actually a great play because
it was an excellent assist. It was a beautiful goal.
Not only did he do that, which is like, yeah, okay, you scored for the opposing team, almost, like you assisted the opposing team. I get that. We've all had that happen to us, kind of. We've all heard someone call a name that sounds like our name on the street and looked. You know, we've all done that. Okay, then he scored a goal for the Senators. So in my eyes, he redeemed himself.
Well, he did something like that later in the season, too. Like, he did it twice, which is pretty iconic. Like, Colin White, he might get confused and assist on goals for the other team, but he will always make up for it with the goals of his own.
He's nothing if not consistent. I mean, at least in that respect. I still am, like, a Colin White, like, fan. I will not have Colin White slander on our podcast.
Okay. It was just, like, it was a notable thing that happened.
A memorable thing for Beata also, apparently, is Erik Karlsson eating an apple during a post-game interview.
Look, this is the one, like, current Senators thing that I needed to post. It was that video of Erik Karlsson in a post-game interview where somebody was like, is that your best offensive game of your career? And he's just eating an apple and he's like, not even close. Iconic. I miss this man so much. I love him so much.
He is the king.
King.
Oh, I miss him. King. I miss him. Mm-hmm. Man, I miss seeing Erik Karlsson eat dinner at like a restaurant that is gentrifying my neighborhood.
I just miss everything about Erik Karlsson.
That's one of the funniest things that has ever happened to me, where I like was living in a really shitty building with like rats. Like, it was bad. Not my pet rats. The bad rats, the ones that live in your walls. And this like fancy restaurant opened on the corner, and I was like living on Bank. Or just off Bank, so I was like, Bank Street is becoming rapidly more and more expensive, but this like very fancy restaurant opened like literally on my block, and I was like, oh man, like this is not good for us, for our rent situation. Like, we're already paying way too much for this shitty apartment. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. You know, that's what happens when you live on Bank Street. And then maybe 2 weeks later, I was walking past this very fancy restaurant on the way to my very shitty apartment, and I saw Erik Karlsson, and I was like, maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's worth having a really expensive restaurant on my block if I get to see Erik Karlsson.
I take that deal. Yeah.
It was good vibes. Another good vibe story is when Bosti got suspended. This is so stupid. I can't believe we're talking about Twitter in like our notable events of the season.
Look, but I made, okay, I'm gonna like admit to this. I made this list by going through my Twitter over the course of the season to see like what was I retweeting, what was I tweeting about, like what were the notable things that happened. And this was a really notable thing that I
think this is
to talk
a really
about.
Important one. I think this is a really good one. Bossy got suspended from Twitter. I can't quite remember what he did, but it was something funny.
We had a good time with it, and then it was perfectly timed because he rose from the dead on Easter morning.
Yeah, it was really good. Bossy and Jesus have that in common. It was good. It was a really good time.
We had a lot really of fun with it.
That was a good day. That was a good day on the internet.
It was.
And it's, again, it's like, what are you doing for your holidays at the moment? Like, you literally can't do anything. So, you know, it keeps us amused.
And then finally, it was also funny because like literally only the two of us cared.
Yeah.
Like, there was like a small handful of people who were like really into this joke and nobody else cared.
Yeah, I love that though. I love when a Twitch suspension gets us all together. It's always good. And then the final one, of course, is the iconic open letter, like the letter of the editor of the Hockey News. I think it's the editor of the Hockey News, like the chief editor, where he's like defending Melnick and like shit talking sense Twitter. And I remember when he's like, I can't remember what he said, but it was basically something like, you know, if you do this and this, or like if you speak up against it, like I'll cancel your subscription to Hockey News. Oh man, that was a really good one. That is so funny, because I love when real adults in positions of power with like adult jobs are like, you don't get to read my garbage. It's not garbage, but you don't get to read my magazine anymore because you said something against Eugene Melnick.
And he got like ratioed to hell and then just went private. And I checked, his account is still private now. Like, he has not recovered from that.
He didn't block me, which was really funny because I was on private at the time because I was starting my job, I think. And so I could still see everything he tweeted, which was very fun for me personally. But it was a good time.
And also, that wasn't our last thing. I did add this because was so recent that I forgot to add it to the list. I was like, this is such an obvious one. Obviously, Tim Stutz's hat trick. Incredible. Like, just
good vibes.
So such an amazing way to end the season, right? Like, just so fun to watch. And then, of course, like the kids showing up at his house and throwing the hats. It was so cute. And Brady Kachuk posting on his Instagram story, just James. Amazing.
Yeah. It was good. It was very good.
It was good.
All right. So we've gotten through like the highlights of the season. And since it's the end of the season for us, as Ottawa Senators fans, we're going to be giving out awards. Which is like this is one of the best things that Beate has ever come up with for this
episode. I came up with this like just this morning, and I tried to like I came up with all these at the same time. I will probably have better ones by next season. Hopefully this is a thing that will continue through the years with this
100%. This is really good. I'm really into it. The first award that we're going to be giving away is the Freddie Claesson Award for Best Vibes.
So I was thinking about this because we haven't chosen award winners. We're making this up as we go.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to say Igor Sokolov, but the thing is he wasn't actually an Ottawa Senator. So I feel like we're going to save that for later seasons. Like next season, Igor Sokolov will win, but this season we got to give it to somebody actually on the Sens. And for me, it's between Zub and Stützle. Personally.
I'm saying Stützle just because I would like to give Zub a different award.
Fair.
And because Stützle has like, he's like magnetic. It's like he's literally changed the entire structure of the team.
And Zub, I feel like Zub himself didn't provide amazing content. The fun thing was that he was just like this steady defensive defenseman who like, you know, didn't talk to the media because he didn't speak English and just, you know, like doesn't have social media. And we were all just like building this cult around him. So it's not really like him specifically that had good vibes.
Very much projecting.
I would say that Stützle had the best vibes.
Stützle has amazing vibes.
Okay,
you're
so
right.
Tim Stützle wins the Freddie Claesson Award for best vibes this season.
Congratulations.
Yeah, the next award that we have is what I have called the Jean-Gabriel Pageau Award for excellence in rivalry games, because we know that one of the most important things in a hockey player is being able to absolutely crush your rivals. Who do you have for this one, Poppy?
See, this is simply because of that one comeback where I would give Zub the award.
Okay, interesting. I like that. I was going to give Stützle this one because I feel like he played really well against both the Leafs and the Habs. I feel like the excellence in rivalry games was kind of spread out. Like there were a few times where people were like, oh, Stützle is the new Peugeot, or like Batherson is the new Peugeot. But like, I just want to put this out here. None of these players are the new Peugeot because they're actually excellent players in games other than games against the Habs. No hate to Peugeot. Peugeot has played, you know, he was consistently good across all games. He obviously had that amazing game against the Rangers. But the amazing thing about Peugeot is that he was kind of like, he was very much a third line player. And then he would play against the Habs and just ascend to another level. Like suddenly he was Sidney Crosby when he played against the Habs, right? Like that was the fun thing about Peugeot, is that it wasn't just the excellence against the Habs. It was the fact that like he didn't score goals against any other team. Anyways, so I could give this to Zub actually. Yeah. For excellence in rivalry games.
Just for that comeback, like he really deserves it.
just for the one goal. Yeah, we can give that one to Zoom. I feel like this is a one. There is potential for the future. I feel like this year we did get a good Jean-Gabriel Peugeot Award winner.
I think we're gonna get that. Okay, then we have the Andrew Hammond Award for the weirdest or most unexplainable season.
So this one I'm gonna give to Connor Brown because Connor Brown, yes, he does score goals. Yeah. But the thing is, like, at the beginning of the season, like, Connor Brown was never a player that you noticed a lot. It was just like, he's okay. You know, he's good on the penalty kill. And he was most noticeable when he would get a breakaway and then just miss the net, like, every single time.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, miss an empty net. Or, you know, he would actually score a goal and you're like, haha, you let Connor Brown score on you. And then he goes on, like, you know, the longest goal scoring streak in franchise history, like, breaks these franchise records, he leads the team in goal scoring, and it's like, what happened? Well, where did this come from? Like, I even thinking about, you know, watching him play, like, yes, he scored a lot of goals, was he amazing in every game? I mean, like, he was just fine. I don't understand. No, this
I 100% agree. I think Connor Brown is, like, very funny because up until this season I was like, first of all, there's two Browns on the team, so I was already like, oh, the other
three
Brown.
Actually,
oh god, three. There's three Browns on the team, so it's like, okay, which one is it? Secondly, then he became only notable because of his, like, very bad headshot at the beginning of the season, and then yeah, he just went off. I think he 100% deserves this award. Congratulations to Connor Brown.
Absolutely. I was thinking, like, oh, we could, because I was making this award and I was like, we could almost name this the Connor Brown Award, but then I was like, no, it's the Andrew Hammond Award. We need an Andrew Hammond Award, and this is the only thing we can award it to.
No, this is good. The next one is the Dylan DeMello Award for Best Social Media Content. I think it's got to be Brady Tkachuk.
I was gonna say that too. I could also say, like, you know, Zub inspired some of the best social media content, but again, he did not actually provide that content himself. That was just the Sens fans doing stuff. But I think Brady Tkachuk inviting Tim Stützle to live with him in Mark Stone's house, consistently, like, hyping up the other players in Instagram comments, that one Instagram story where he just said, James, so funny, constantly providing great reactions, great faces, you know, amazing memes for all of us.
I'm thinking, like, even before the season started, we had some, like, amazing, like, the when they couldn't play, we just had, like, just good content from Brady Tkachuk.
Man, the Nerf guns, I still use those memes. Yeah, amazing.
Those are good.
And even, like, he sparked a lot of memes, too. Like, one of my favorite quotes from the season was Evgeny Dadonov being like, Tkachuk, he's like Energy Boy. Amazing. Yeah. Like, everything about Brady Tkachuk this season was so memeable. Absolutely. He wins the Dylan DeMello Award for Best Social Media Content. And then
we've got two more,
but the other one I didn't name, and it's not for on-ice content. Finally, I have what I've decided to call the Zdeno Chara Award for the Best Former Senator, because we have a lot of former senators in the NHL, and we need to appreciate them. And I think
I know who is mine.
Who is it?
Mark Stone. It's got to be
okay. Here's the thing. I was going to say Mark Stone. I do know, you know, he's the captain. He had a great season. I feel like that's the obvious answer. I'm actually going to go with Mika Zibanejad, because every time I logged on to Twitter.com, Mika Zibanejad had a hat trick. I cannot count. I don't know how many goals he scored this season, how many hat tricks he had, but it felt like it was every night. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Because it was it was an unusually good season. Like, I've always loved Mika Zibanejad. I always thought he was capable of this. I always thought the Sens should have kept him. Sorry, Poppy. I know you love Brassard. However, this was, like, an unusually great season for him, and he might not ever achieve that again, because I know his advanced stats are, like, not that great.
Can I add an award?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I want to add the Derek Brassard Award for players who Poppy is unexplainably obsessed with.
Okay.
And we all know who it's going to be. It's going to be Colin White. He is my Derek Brassard. He is my new Derek Brassard, because I think he's good and he's not bad, but he's not that good. But I'm gonna keep cheering for him, and he will have a good season. He will have a career season, and everyone's gonna be like, who would have thought? And I'll be like, I thought. I thought this entire time. I'm excited for that to happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to do the Sens Twitter MVP?
Yeah, let's do it. So the Craig Medaglia Award for Sens Twitter MVP. Who is your pick, Poppy?
It's going to be Ericsson's Berna for me personally.
That was also my pick. I was like, I was tempted to say Brochensky because of the Sens Sicko meme, but no hate to Brochensky. He had a great season.
I love him.
Great posts. Everybody on Sens Twitter had a great season. However, Ericsson's Berna came out of nowhere last fall and is currently my favorite account. I like all of her tweets.
I think she's really fun. I think she's very fun. I think that like there's always someone who's kind of like new and you're like, who is this person? A few years ago for me, that was Finnegan's Ghost, iconic account.
Yeah.
And he only had not that many followers and was like consistently posting the funniest shit I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a few years ago where I was like, who on earth is this? And this year it's Ericsson's Berna, 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's just like killing it. She's really funny. She should be the Sen social media person, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be thrown off by the fact that her account name and profile picture are all Canucks stuff. She does post a lot about the Canucks, but there's plenty of Sens content. Don't worry. That's our MVP. And hopefully these awards will live on in the future. I came up with them, you know, in one morning, but we might have better ones. We'll see.
I love that. I think, I would hope to think that one day this will be an official award that we get to personally hand to the players.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And some Twitter ceremony. People. Yeah.
I think it'll be wonderful. I think it's going to be gorgeous. One day.
One day.
All right. Are you ready for this mascot minute? I'm really excited about this one.
I haven't read this one yet. I'm really excited to read it.
As an introduction, this one has absolutely no explicit content. It doesn't even have physical touch in it.
Oh.
It's very romantic. I noticed while I was writing bits that I never used to project my desires onto the mascot minute because the mascot minute used to be a few years ago. It was about coming up with the like most absurd thing I could come up with. Mm-hmm. Like that used to be the thing where I was like, I'm gonna make Beata laugh by coming up with the like most disgusting shit I can write.
I still have not forgotten the cloaca. That incident.
That used to be my goal when I was writing these, and today I was like happily typing away and I was like, oh my god, I'm projecting. I am completely projecting what I want in my life onto what Sparta Cat has in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what isolation does to a person.
Absolutely. Hunter saw every one of his team's losses as a bittersweet moment. Of course, he wanted his beloved Oilers to advance, but if they lost just one more game, he would be free for the summer, free to spend as much time as he wanted with Sparta Cat. Sparty, as it turned out, had a lovely little cottage by the lake, tucked away far from prying eyes. The lion was already there, getting things ready for his beloved. He sent Hunter pictures of the work he had done in the garden, the freshly painted door, the deck full of flower pots, and progress on patchwork blanket he was sewing. As Hunter stood in the cold rink, watching his team lose again, thoughts of morning swims and evening fires kept him happy enough to perform his mascot duties.
I'm sorry. I was like... looking at Beata's face while she read this, and she was being very expressive. It was really cute. It was really cute, but it was really funny.
Maybe I'll tweet out the video. We'll see.
It was very cute. Sparta Cat was living the dream. He loved his work, but he lived for the summers. When he moved out of his luxury condo and into his cottage. This year, he wanted to install a little sprinkler system on the deck, just like the one the James Street pub used to have. He had fond memories of sharing pitches with friends on that patio, the gentle mist from the sprinklers keeping him cool in Ottawa's sweltering summers. He wanted to share that small pleasure with Hunter. As he busied himself around the cottage, he could not help but feel a little concerned about the future of their relationship. The summer was theirs, a time to live together without the pressures of work. If things went well, he even considered proposing at the end of the summer. But what then? What happened when they were both working for months on end with no opportunity to see each other? If the years of unprecedented success were coming, as his boss had promised, He would be a very busy cat.
I love this.
It's incredible how often I manage to bring up the James Street Pub sprinklers in every aspect of my life. It's like
amazing.
My obsession. I didn't even go to the James Street Pub that frequently, and yet they are burned into my brain.
It'll be a part of like the Mascot Minute canon. Like people can go to the James Street Pub and like take pictures, be like, look where I am. Please do that.
James Street Pub closed, Beata. It's being turned into fucking condos. It's being turned into condos.
Like, I haven't been in Ottawa in a while. You can go to the condos then.
Just take a picture in front of it.
Yeah. Anyways, I like that you gave us a dual point of view there. Pretty interesting. Interesting writing decision.
You know, a bit creative.
Yeah.
I've been procrastinating working on a different piece of writing that I should be finishing. So. All right. Let's move on because it is the off season, baby.
I love that it only took us 2 days after the season ended for a like extremely bizarre Melnick story to break. Like,
so
the feeling I got when I woke up and I checked my phone first thing in the morning and I have a DM from Poppy with this article that she found, because obviously she's in a different time zone, she finds it first. This is from like 5 a.m and it's this weird story about Melnick, and I can just log on and post about it all day long.
It's so good. So what happened, for those not in the know, oh my god, I had a hiccup, sorry. Let's do that again. For those not in the know, not Melnick, his girlfriend and his mother, I believe, are suing a yacht company that they booked for Christmas. Basically, they were going to sail around, well, like Barbados and stuff, right?
And technically, because Melnick lives in Barbados, he was allowed to do that.
Yeah, but, he was allowed to be in Barbados. Know,
we were still in lockdown. Like, he was still supposed to be at home. And it's funny because he was sending out messages to Sens fans about the importance of staying home while he was going on his little super yacht vacation.
Yeah, like, it's like funny because it even says in the lawsuit, like, basically they were meeting, like, him and his family were meeting there to escape lockdown regulations. Like, that's not a secret.
Yeah, my favorite thing about the article is, like, what do you do when you're trapped in Ottawa and it's in lockdown? And it presents it as if this is not a thing that, like, everybody was facing. Like, we were all facing this dilemma and we all chose something other than a yacht vacation. Like, this is not a Melnick specific problem, being tired of lockdown during Christmas.
Anyway, so him and his girlfriend, they went to Barbados to get the yacht. I think they went to Barbados first somewhere, like, that's how I understand it. And then they were going to be on the yacht for like a week or something, and then they were going to pick up their family members from around North America and then spend like Christmas on this yacht. So apparently, basically, they're suing it for the British captain being smelly and rude. And Melnick was like, I want you to take this route. And the captain was like, we cannot do that. Because the route he was asking to go in was like, well, close to the islands. And the water's way too shallow for like a massive yacht. And so the captain then steered into the open ocean, and because it's winter, the sea was like rough. And so basically everybody got seasick, and they're saying that the captain steered into the ocean specifically to spite Melnick, which is really funny. And they're pretty much trying to sue this company for the captain being stinky and rude and them getting seasick. That's it.
I'm obsessed with the idea of Melnick being on this yacht trip and being like, no, I know better than you. I'm going to steer this. Like, I don't know. As a Sens fan, That sounds pretty familiar to me, that he was, like, you know, trying to do a mutiny on the ship and, like, thinking he knew better than the yacht captain and then blaming the yacht captain when things went really badly and saying that he had a personal vendetta against Melnick. Like, that,
it's,
I don't know.
Really funny.
I don't know. It's, that really just funny. Sounds familiar to me. Absolutely obsessed with the story. It's also, like, this is a thing where not many people are being hurt, you know, like, it's, you know, like, I feel bad for the company and everything, and, you know, he violated lockdown, but it's the thing where it's like, I can just laugh at this. Like, this is just an incredibly weird story.
It's really funny for, like, a rich person to be like, I'm gonna escape lockdown, I'm gonna sail around the Caribbean in this massive yacht, and then to get seasick, which can happen when you're on a boat, and then be like, I'm gonna sue this company for, like, millions, I think. It's, like, really funny. One of my favorite parts of the story, though, is that one day the captain was like, okay, well, let's go to this beach for, like, a beach day. And they arrived at the beach and there were just, like, signs everywhere being, like, warning, like, shark sightings.
Which, and the captain was like, hey, you can still go swimming. And it's like, he wanted not, like, to get eaten by a shark.
I mean, to be fair, though, like, it is the Caribbean. Like, there are sharks there. That's just, like, part of it. I have in the past definitely swam in waters where there's been, like, warnings that, like, look out for sharks, but usually, I mean, I know that you can go to beaches that are, like, sort of more inland, and so it's not as dangerous. It's possible that the captain just, like, wanted to get rid of them for a day and was like, oh, this is, like, close by and I can safely get there. Well, that's the other thing, right? Like, how easy is it to steer your massive yacht to a beach that's, like, more inland? Mm-hmm. Probably not that easy. So you're kind of limited. Mm-hmm. I obviously don't know everything about boating, but I think this is a really great story. I don't think that Melnick has a leg to stand on. Sorry, Melnick's girlfriend and his mom. But it's really funny. Oh, and then the final thing was, like, they wanted to be let off. I can't remember where, but they wanted to be let off, like, somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And the captain was like, it's way too dangerous for us to try and, like, steer the boat there. Like, the water's not safe. And, like, we can't drop you off there. And basically insisted on, I think, going back to Barbados or somewhere to drop them off. And they were like, we were kidnapped. It's just
everything about this is so funny. Like, I don't know, I just love a story about a rich family spending $500,000 a year, by the way. Like, Melnick is trying to pretend that he's broke.
$500,000 a week.
Like, how broke is he if this can happen? Maybe that's why he kept sending Brandstrom down to the AHL every few days so that he could, like, save a bit of money. He was like, oh man, I spent so much money on that yacht trip. Spending $500,000 a week to go on this, like, extremely ill-advised vacation that, like, goes against public health guidelines, and then just having, like, a terrible time. Like, that, I love that story. It made me really happy. That was a high point of the season. It was a fantastic day for me personally. I had a great time. Yeah.
I think it's really wonderful of Melnick to always provide us with content. Just, like, really respect it. I also think that this has something to do with the next point. I think that this lawsuit is specifically to pay for Zoop's contract.
Oh my god. And the thing is, they were announced on the same day. Like, here's the thing. I was posting all day about how, like, I made, like, it was a very good meme. It did not get enough attention. It was that Good Place scene where, like, Michael is always asking Janet for stuff and she just keeps giving him cacti instead. Michael was the fans asking for a new contract, specifically a Zoop contract, but, like, any contract really. And the Sens just kept providing Melnick controversies. And then I tweeted, like, oh, you know, the yacht lawsuit will pay for the Zoop contract. Like, you know, he's trying to make that money up. And then, like, immediately after I posted that, the Sens announced the Zoop contract, and it's like, interesting timing there. Or maybe they were like, wow, the fans are all riled up making jokes about this, we need to find the one thing that they're gonna, like, drop everything to post about, and they found the Zoop contract. So
it's good. I'm really excited. It's good for us as well, because it was very brave of us to start selling t-shirts that say Zoop without knowing if he would extend his contract.
I don't know what I would have done if they hadn't extended his contract, like not just in terms of like you know, podcast merch, but just like in life generally. I was like, how can I like watch this guy play for another team? I mean, obviously I've had to, you know, face that dilemma many times over the last 4 years, but like it would have been pretty devastating
if he had gone, which I hope will never happen. I hope he's now a senator mm-hmm. for life. I would embroider the words "bring back" over Zoom mm-hmm, mm-hmm. on my sweater. So
yeah, actually, we could.
Don't worry, okay, don't worry, guys. You can still use that. You can still use the merch.
Yeah. I still have a Brian 5 or 6 Keep Carlson shirt has like cursed energy now. But I feel I feel like yeah, selling like "bring back" Zoom shirts. Hopefully, we never have to. Hopefully.
Never. But you know, you can yeah. I think the Keep Carlson shirt is now like vintage and iconic. I think you should need to
I'm tempted to like I feel like I need to wait a few years until after the Carlson deal, but maybe we're finally at a point where I'm like, yeah, I can wear this around.
I think it would be really funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the men's worlds are starting, which is good vibes because we'll be cheering for Russia.
I mean, yes, there are 3 senators playing for Team Canada, but like we're only here for Zub. I watched his game this morning, made my day so much better.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm also excited for Men's Worlds because some of these are going to be at times when I can actually watch them. Not mm-hmm. that I did that today because I was gardening, but mm-hmm. maybe another day. It's like it's good. And then my favorite thing, once again, Melnick is like really bringing the content, mm-hmm. is when he threatened to move the arena to Gatineau. Now everybody was like low-key pissed about this, but I think this is genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's good.
It makes no sense, but it's really funny. And I don't know, I'm still trying to connect the dots here, but I feel like there's a connection between the fact that the Habs are currently freaking out about losing their French Canadian identity because they don't have any French Canadian players. Like a while ago, there's the whole thing where, like, for the first time in franchise history, the Habs do not have a single French Canadian in the lineup. And there's just a lot of freaking out about their French Canadian vibes and how they're losing those.
Which is funny.
It's funny. Yeah, it's extremely funny to me. And I'm like, the Sens, the only other, like, French-speaking team, because we're a bilingual team. We have some French Canadians moving to Quebec. Connection?
I think it would rule. I lived in Gatineau the first 2 years. I was living quote unquote in Ottawa. I was living in Gatineau, and I have a very special relationship with Gatineau in comparison to most other U Ottawa students, because unlike everybody else who's been to U Ottawa, I never went there to drink when I was 18. Because I didn't start university till I was 20. Not to expose myself as old, but, you know. but I have only been out to Gatineau to, like, nice places, like nice bars. And I liked living there. People underestimate the Rapibus. If it was on the Rapibus line, like, we could get there really easily from downtown. It's kind of a good idea. Real estate's cheaper in Gatineau. I think it would be funny. I think personally, like, it would be really fun to cross the bridge to Hull with a bunch of like 18-year-olds who are trying to go to, I can't remember what the place is called that used to be called Addiction, but I think it would be like really funny to have like a Friday night and it's just Sens fans and like 18-year-olds on their way to like a really bad club. I think it'd be really good. We mm-hmm. could all get puts in afterwards. We could go to like Uqua or to Minotaur before going to the game. We could all go to karaoke at Le Petit Chicago afterwards. Mm-hmm. It would be amazing. For me,
and 18-year-old Sens fans could drink at games.
Yeah, and the beer would probably be cheaper.
Probably. I mean, if Melnick has a say in it though, will it be cheaper? I don't know exactly how this works.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I just think it'll be fun. I honestly, like, they'd probably still be called the Ottawa Senators, right? Like, mm-hmm. but even if they weren't, even if it was the Gatineau, Senator de Gatineau, are you kidding me? I would love that. I would I would die.
I love people saying like, oh, we're going to be the Gatineau Senators. Like, we're not the Kanata Senators right now, guys.
Like, stupid.
I don't think we have to change the name.
People are so mad about it, but that's just because they don't know about like the good spots in Hull. And I think that we can change this. Mm-hmm. This could be revolutionary for the
Ottawa-Gatineau relationship. This like, you know, this interview, it did provide some good content, but it didn't quite deliver on what I was expecting. Like, after that story, I was really expecting something just, like, completely unhinged. And I was like, this is more, like, subdued Melnick. He did get mad at the fans for being mean to him. He did also complain about tax breaks being misused in Ottawa. And then,
I mean, he's correct. He's correct.
He was correct about the tax breaks going to the wrong people, but he seemed to think that he deserved those tax breaks because he's suffering so much, guys. I mean, like, yes, he did pay $500,000 a week for a yacht vacation, but like, he's really suffering. Like, won't someone think of the rich NHL team owners?
What if we combine the Vanier Porsche dealership / community hub with the Ottawa Senators arena? I feel like that could work. Something, I think the Porsche Ottawa, the Vanier Porsche Ottawa Senators rink of community dreams. Mm-hmm. I think we've got something going there. Like, I think that that would be very interesting.
Also, I just want to say, how much money did noted Barbados resident Eugene Melnick pay in taxes this year? I'm a little bit suspicious. He wants that tax break so bad. I am always suspicious of rich people who, you know, are tax dodgers who live in like the Caribbean for tax dodging purposes, not complaining about not getting enough tax breaks.
Not only does he live in the Caribbean, but also his now affiliated charity is a charity that quote unquote raises awareness, mm-hmm. which is also like
How do you measure the awareness that you have raised?
Oh man, he's like,
yeah,
he's like paying zero taxes.
We haven't seen the documents, we haven't seen his tax returns, we don't know for sure, but like, I'm a little suspicious of this.
Yeah, I think that you're making some valid points. Mm-hmm. I think that Melnick is right about one thing, and that's the fact that we do not need the Vanier Porsche dealership / community.
He does have a very good point there. He does.
He did make a point.
I'm still like, maybe I would prefer that those, if it was between the Ottawa Senators and the Porsche dealership, who would I prefer get the tax break? I mean, probably the Ottawa Senators, I do want Brady Tkachuk to stay in Ottawa. However, do I think that Eugene Melnick is the person in Ottawa most deserving of a tax break? No.
No, but man, this is such a, I don't know. I think he's just doing like really a lot for rent in Ottawa is becoming too expensive. So I'm going to move to Gatineau culture, a culture that I personally love and respect, mm-hmm. a culture that I would love to be a part of, but none of my roommates want to move to Hull. But like, he's really doing too much, but I respect it. I respect it. He's keeping us entertained. Mm-hmm. That's all I could ask for. Let's come to the last part, which is, this is going to be the most surprising thing we've ever done, but I think we're right to do it. I also think this might possibly, maybe, advances a little further into, like, a way, remember when Beata got fired from being an influencer with the Ottawa Senators? I think, well, I don't know, I guess your relationship didn't continue.
I got ghosted. That's what happens. They told me we were going to continue to work together, and then they ghosted me.
Okay, Beata got ghosted by the Ottawa Senators, but listen, Ottawa Senators, this week, mm-hmm. we're awarding Big Rig Energy to none other than Eugene Melnick.
He was providing that content for us.
Yeah.
Like, we have to give it to him. We have to, like, I, as much as I want Melnick gone, and, like, believe me, I want him gone.
Beata, which one's right. Something good for our careers?
Like, look.
Okay, team, don't listen past this moment.
don't listen to this. I do want him gone. However, now you can keep listening, team. I would miss this, like, weird media presence that Melnick has. Like, I will miss the experience of waking up, checking my phone, and being like, oh my god, there was a Melnick interview. And just, like, the joy that, like, takes over my body as I look through the quotes to find something to make fun of, the posts that I come up with. Like, I'm gonna miss this. So
I mean, I don't think you ever have to miss this. I think Melnick's gonna own the team forever and ever and ever.
I'll say that. I appreciate him for providing that to us. And you know, he gave us some great sound bites without saying something truly reprehensible that we, like, you know, can't stand behind. It's just like he just said some really funny and weird things. Yeah.
We're giving I think
energy. He should come on our podcast.
Congratulations to Eugene Melnick. We would love to have you on the podcast, and we would love to discuss taxes. I think that absolutely would be a really fascinating conversation. Eugene, we stand beside you. We stand mm-hmm. beside you in being against the Vanier Porsche dealership and community hub.
True. We do agree on that one thing.
We also respect your choice, or not choice. We respect your threat to move the Ottawa Senators to Gatineau.
Very true. And we respect your decision to give Artem Zub a contract extension at any cost. Like, whatever you had to do to get to do it, whoever you had to sue, we think it was worth it.
And I respect any man who refers to British people as smelly and bad-tempered.
Because
what are we if not smelly and bad-tempered?
So this is our pitch to bring Eugene Melnick on the podcast.
Come on the podcast, it'll be so much fun. All right. On that note, thank you for listening to this Melnick and Life. You can find us on Twitter at Melnick and Life, or email us at thisamelnickandlife@gmail.com.
Our music is by Steve Frouse. Our logo is by Lena Novi and Angus Fitzgerald Clark. For bonus content, please find us at patreon.com/thisamelnickandlife. We also have a link tree that we'll link in the description, so you can just click that and find all of our stuff. So you can also find the link to our merch shop, which is shop.spreadshirt.com/this-melnickand-life. You can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts, and of course, it'd be a huge help if you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. As we said in the last episode, we are still doing a giveaway, so you will get some really fun stickers if you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Stickers and a fridge magnet if you rate and review us on the podcast. And as long as I still have 90s Ottawa Senators trading cards lying around, I will also send you one of those. And they're pretty fun. So
amazing. And all you have to do is leave us a review. So
yeah.
Bye.
Even if it's, if it's a bad one, I don't know if I'll give you one, but
we'll see.
All right. Bye. Bye.